so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Hey, it's so amazing to be here. If you don't know, we've been part of the OSC family for 9 years. I was the lead pastor at our Lafayette campus from 2010 to 2015, and then in 2015 we launched our Midtown location, where we've been for the last 3.5 years. And then God did what only God can do, and God spoke to us that we were at the wrong town, and so we left Midtown, and now we're part of the O-Town family. So it's good to be with family. I want to introduce you to my family, just because we're family now, and you didn't know who we are. But I got a picture, that little cute cupcake on the right, that's Savannah Cupcake Carol. She is 8 years old, y'all, and she loves anything with art. And then next to her is my mini-me. That's Tucker Graham. He enjoys basketball and the Boston Celtics. And then he is going to be 10 years old next month. And then the beautiful lady next to me, that is my wife of 16 years. She is 24 years old. And she happens to be right here in the front row, my wife, beautiful wife, Rachel. She's amazing. And that handsome devil next to her is me. And so I want to jump right in, because I got 26 minutes and 40 seconds to do this. But I just want to preach you a simple message this morning. It's very basic. But I'm a very participatory preacher, so that means put on your participants. That means it's okay. Parents, you know when you talk to your kids and you say something good and they don't talk back? Preachers are the same way. And so if you hear something good, you can say whatever you want. You can say amen. You can say amen. You can say that's good. You can say pop the clutch. You can say preach it, white boy. You can say whatever you want to say. Just let's have fun, okay? We're going to jump right in. If you have your Bibles or your devices, you can look on the screen. We're going to be in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 6, y'all, the nation of Israel is reminding me a lot of O-Town. The nation of Israel is experiencing a move of God. They are experiencing God's favor. People are getting saved. They're coming to know who God is. They are witnessing miracles. They are fired up for God. Is there anybody at O-Town this morning that is fired up for Jesus? They are fired up. They're hearing about the goodness of God. Sound familiar? Great things are happening in this church. And God was doing some awesome things corporately. God's doing some awesome things corporately here in Opelousas. But just because God is doing awesome things corporately doesn't mean you have the right to coast individually. That God still wants to move in your life. He just doesn't want to move on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock or 9:30. He wants to move every day of your life. And so here we go, 2 Kings chapter 6. It says the company, see if you can relate to where we are. It says the company of the prophet said to Elijah, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. He's saying, Elisha, we're tired of meeting in a school auditorium. We don't want to see a tiger on the wall when we're worshiping. We're tired of dropping our kids off in a gym. It smells like socks. We got to do something. So let us go to the Jordan, where each of us, everybody say each of us, can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet. Notice everybody has a part to play in the new building. It doesn't say that Pastor Eugene and the staff went get the materials. It says, let us all go do our part. And he said, go, let's do it. Then one of them said, won't you please come with us? He's talking to Elisha, the pastor, the prophet. And he went with them. And they went to the Jordan. They began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell. The axe head fell. Oh, no. I think that's how he said it. Oh, no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick, threw it in there, and made it float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Verse 5 says, the axe head fell. the axe head fell. I want to preach a message to you this morning simply entitled, Sharpen Up. Sharpen up. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, are you sharp? Tell your other neighbor, say, you better get sharp. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. God, we know that it's your word that transforms our lives. And so as we hear your word today, let us apply it to our life and let us never be the same again. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. There are some items in life that the functionality of that item are mutually dependent upon that item's sharpness. It does you no good to show up to your ACT exam with 187 number two pencils if one of those pencils is not sharp. There are some items in life that its functionality depends on its sharpness. I'm looking out in here, man, there are some sharp dressed people in Opelousas. How many know it's better to be a sharp dressed man than a man that's thrown together? I like things that are sharp. How many know sharp cheddar tastes better than dull cheese? So some things are just made to be sharp. A knife is no good unless it is sharp. When knives lose their sharpness, they lose their purpose. When pencils lose their sharpness, they lose their purpose. Listen to me. It doesn't matter how big of a building that we build, and it doesn't matter how nice the new building is, if the individuals who make up the church building lose their sharpness, we in turn lose our effectiveness and our purpose to actually not go to church, but to be the church. We are designed as men and women of God to be sharp. We actually lose our effectiveness and our purpose in the kingdom when we lose our sharpness. You with me? In our text, we're going to witness the consequences of someone who loses their edge, the sharpness. It says this in verse 1 and 2. It says, the company of prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole. So they said, let's build this thing together. So this is interesting to note. They didn't hire a firm to design the building. They didn't hire an architect. They didn't hire a building company. The people said, look, the place we're meeting, it's not good enough. We got to build this thing together. So this is the church folks talking to Elisha, who would be the pastor, the priest. He's the prophet. So the church folks are coming saying, hey, pastor, we got to build this thing. So it's the church folks. These would be the people at OSC who's gone through Growth Track. By the way, if you haven't gone through Growth Track, you can go through next Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12, I believe, at the St. Landry Bank Annex building. You can just show up and they'll take care of you. Just show up. So these are the folks who've made the commitment. They got in a small group. They've been attending services. They're ushers and greeters, and they're probably some nursery workers. Come on, do you thank God for the nursery workers that take care of your kids? So these are the people that are talking to Elisha, and they say, we have a problem, and the problem is that we've run out of space, and we need a bigger building. We need to expand. So as a church, they're in a building project. There's lots of anticipation that they're about to get into it. It kind of reminds me of where we are, because I think we're now counting down weeks till we get into the new building. So they're saying, we're anticipating the expanse of the building. So corporately, I think we can relate. But my question is this morning is not can we relate corporately, but can we relate individually and personally? What is it personally that you are determined to increase in your life in this next season? What is it personally that you're determined to grow and build? What is it in your marriage that needs to be built? What is it in your relationships that need renovation? What is it in your spiritual walk up in the balcony that needs a makeover and expanse? Come on, can you think of anything? I can think of some things in my life. So it says that the company of prophets, they were determined to grow. And it says, then one of them says, won't you please come with me? He's talking to Elisha. Elisha said, I will. And he went with them to the Jordan, and they began to cut down trees. So they're getting lumber for this new church. And it says, as one of them was cutting down a tree, it says the iron axe fell into the water. The head fell into the water. He says, oh no, my Lord, he cried out, it's borrowed. Now, when we read this scripture, there is nothing illustrious about this scripture, you know, on the surface. I mean, this guy is out with an axe and the axe breaks. I'm like, bro, go to Lowe's and get a new one. But how many know axes back then, they have a head on it, and the head was made of iron, and iron was an expensive commodity. And this prophet, he didn't have a whole lot of money. He was a non-profit prophet. Y'all like that one? I got a couple more I'm going to tell you in a second. And so he loses a borrowed axe. Everybody say, uh-oh. How many know it's bad if you break something that you own? If you lose something that you own? But have you ever borrowed something like really nice from someone else? And you either lose it or break it. You're in a bind. But he realizes that when he loses this, his effectiveness not only affects him, but it now infects the entire body. Because he was assigned to chop down a certain group of lumber. He was out doing, how many know when you ain't pulling your load, everybody suffers? When you're not in the nursery doing the thing that God designed you to do, it's not just you suffering, it everybody, the church suffers. That's why when God gives us an assignment, we got to be careful to make sure that we do what God asks us to do. It's called obedience. So he's out swinging his axe, and all of a sudden, his axe breaks. So guess what? His row of trees ain't cut down. He loses his sharpness. And here's what I want you to see. Don't miss this. Does he lose his edge doing bad stuff? Does he lose his edge living in sin? Does it say in Scripture that he lost his edge because he was at the crack house? Does it say that he lost his edge because he was picking up women? It doesn't say that. In fact, he was losing his edge just doing the thing that he did every single week. I say that because you can come to church every week thinking you're serving God and still find yourself swinging and you ain't chopping nothing down. It's not in the cataclysmic events of life where we lose our edge. It's in the everyday mundane events. Because you get up every day just swinging your axe. Come on, single mama, help me out. Every day just raising your kids. Every day just going to work. Every day just paying bills. Every day just trying to survive. And isn't it just living life that every once in a while you're giving all you can give, swinging as hard as you can, only to look back and realize ain't nothing falling. And that's where this guy is. Swinging away. And I guess my question is, what's the moment like when he looks back and realizes ain't nothing falling? Because there's got to be a point where he's, oh, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm there on Sunday morning. Yeah. And you look back and nothing's falling. He's got to ask the question, do I just keep swinging and hope nobody notices that my trees aren't falling? Because that's what church folks do, isn't it? I'm going to keep coming to church, doing my thing, sing my song, raise my hand, but my marriage is dull. Come on, have you ever just been swinging away? Swinging in your marriage, swinging in your finances, doing everything you can do on your own. And nothing's fallen. He doesn't lose the axe. He loses the axe head. There's a big difference. I think the axe head represents God's power in our lives. He didn't lose the axe. He just lost where the power came from. Just like, listen to me, just like Christian, you can't lose God's love. Come on, tell your neighbor God loves you. Tell your other neighbor Kiki don't love you. You can't lose God's love. You can't lose God's grace. You can't lose God's forgiveness. But you can walk through life as a Christian, not walking in the fullness of the power that God wants you to walk in. And if we're going to be an effective church, we need to have some sharp people. I know Pastor Eugene, I listened to this whole series on Prepare. Wasn't that amazing sermon series called Prepare? I read this about preparation. Watch this. Abraham Lincoln had this saying, because he was a lumberman. He would cut down trees and he would build stuff from the lumber that he cut down. He said this, watch this. If I have 6 hours to cut down trees, I would spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. You don't like Abraham Lincoln? Let me give you one right out of scripture. Ecclesiastes. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen your blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. And if you're not succeeding in your spiritual walk, maybe your blade is dull. Boo. I got 13 minutes. I'm going to give you 3 points of how to sharpen up. 3 points of how to be successful in your spiritual walk. Are you ready? Yes. Number one, this is so simple. You're going to say, I came to church to hear that? Yes, because you need to be reminded. Number one, we are sharpened by the word of God. You are sharpened by the word of God. If you are not sharp in your life, chances are you are not reading your word. You are not in the Bible. According to scripture, we can't even have faith without the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if you're not in the word of God, I don't care how much you love God. I don't care how much you love O-Town. I don't care how much you love Pastor Eugene. If you are not in the word of God, sooner or later, your life is going to be dull. We are strengthened and sharpened by the word of God. I was telling this to some men in a men's group, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. One of them said, that's great for you, Pastor, because you're a pastor and you get paid to read the word of God. Us common folks don't have the time you have to read God's word, which I would reply to you if that's your attitude. If you don't have time to read your Bible, then you are way busier than God ever intended you to be. It's funny, you have time to go to the duck camp. You have time to go to the gym. You got time to go to the store. You got time to go to the club on Saturday night, backing that thing up. I said it. And ain't none of those things change you. But the word of God, according to scripture, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges my thoughts and the attitudes of my heart. I am sharpened by the word of God because it cuts away attitudes and it cuts away mindsets and it cuts away sin. It cuts away the areas of my life that doesn't need to be there. And if you're not in the word of God, you're gonna get dull and you gotta sharpen up by reading God's word. Everybody say the word. The book of James tells us that the word of God is like a mirror. Now, my wife is on the front row. There are people in my family that like spending more time in front of the mirror than others. It's me. And one day I was walking by the mirror and I told my wife, I said, baby, we got to get a new mirror. She said, why do we need to get a new mirror? I said, this mirror makes me look fat. And she laughed like you. She said, let me help you out, sweetie. It ain't the mirror. The mirror just actually depicts what's in front of it. The word of God depicts what's in front of it. And if what's lining up in here, if what's in here isn't lining up what's in here, we're dull. The mirror doesn't make me look any skinnier, doesn't make me look any more toned. It doesn't make me look any better. In the same way, how many of you know, reading the word of God alone doesn't change anything? What? Yeah. The word of God is like a can of paint. Its value is in its application. It does you no good if your home needs a makeover to go down to Lowe's or Home Depot and get you 27 gallons of paint if they just sit in your garage. Nothing changes until you get the paintbrush out, dip it in the can, and start applying it to the walls. The same is true with your life. You can read the Bible all day long and memorize every sermon that Pastor Eugene preaches, but until you actually dip your hand and your soul and your heart into the word of God and start applying it to the walls of your life, nothing changes. You can stack up cans of paint all over your house, but until you grab a brush, nothing changes. That's why James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. You want me to give you my translation? It don't work unless you work it. That explains how people can come to church and hear great message after great message on their marriage and on finances. yet their marriage is dull and their finances are dull and their life is dull. And you want to come to church and you want to tell me that church doesn't work and God doesn't work and Jesus doesn't work and the Bible doesn't work. Listen to me. Ain't nothing wrong with the paint. You just ain't used it yet. Come on, tell your neighbor, paint your life with the word of God. Okay, number two. Y'all didn't like that one. I'm going to number two. Number two, we are sharpened not only by the word, we're sharpened in prayer. In prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, I'll stop there. It doesn't say if you pray. It says when you pray. Prayer is not a recommendation. It's a command. When you pray, all throughout Scripture, the Bible is loaded with Jesus teaching us how to pray. Jesus going into prayer. Jesus explaining prayer. In Luke chapter 11, disciples asked Jesus, Master, teach us to pray. Acts chapter 1, it says, when Pentecost came, they were joined together constantly in prayer. What does that mean? Nothing great ever happens outside of prayer, not just for corporately, not just for Opelousas, but for your life as well. We need prayer. Ephesians 6 says, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. Why? Because prayer connects us to God. It connects us to God's thoughts. It connects us to God's heart. It connects us to God's perspective. It connects us to God's will. It connects us to God's love. It actually connects us to God himself. Just like I can't be connected to anybody in this room unless we actually have a conversation. You may feel connected to me because you're hearing me, but I will never feel connected to you until I hear back from you. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. It's conversational. It's not a wish list. And so many times, that's what we do, right? Lord, touch my kids, touch my wife, touch my dog. Amen. That's not prayer. That's asking God to change your situation. But prayer is not so much about God changing your situation as it is about God changing you and your heart. Because there's times in prayer I thought I needed one thing, but when I got in prayer, God changed my perspective. And I realized that's really not what I needed. That's what I wanted, but that's not what I needed. And so you got to hear God. The problem is we hear everybody else. We never hear God. I prayed about it. Yeah, but did God speak to you? Are you used to worrying about what your sister-in-law said? Listen to me. The future that you experience is determined by the voices that you listen to. And some of you trying to get relational advice from your cousin who's been married 8 times. Word. We got to hear what God says. Proverbs 8 says, look what it says. God says, blessed are those who listen to me. You're blessed when you listen to God. It's in prayer that you get God's perspective and God's voice. And you're saying, God, make these trees smaller. God says that you don't need the trees smaller. See, the trees don't become any smaller in prayer. Your axe just becomes sharper. You're sharpened by prayer. Let me quote the great theologian, M.C. Hammer. You got to pray just to make it today. I say, thank you. You need personal prayer. Hey, I don't care if it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes. I don't care. Every day, God, help me. I want to hear talk to God. Number two, we need to pray corporately. That's why I'm so excited. I found out we have prayer every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. with Dwayne and the amazing prayer team. They meet at St. Landry Bank, the Annex Building. You just show up. They're going to teach you how to pray because we got to pray just to. Yeah. And I'm closing. Number three. We are sharpened by the people of God. This is important. You cannot be sharp in your life by yourself. You need someone to sharpen you. I am an avid hunter. I love to duck hunt. I love to goose hunt. And so I brought a picture of one of my favorite pastimes. These are geese flying, and when they fly like this, they call it flying in formation. And if you notice, how many of you ever noticed like geese flying over? There's always one side of the V that's larger than the other side of the V. How many of you ever noticed that? How many of you ever wondered why one side is always bigger? That's exactly right. There's more geese on that side. Please leave the jokes to me. But here's what I realized. Geese flying in formation preserve more energy and go further than a goose flying on its own. In fact, a goose can fly, listen to this, 70 miles further in one flight flying in formation than flying alone. A goose will recover faster flying in formation than flying alone. So what is the answer for us? The answer for us is not to stay by ourselves on the ground, but to get in formation and fly higher than we ever flew and let God take us where only He can. I need water. I haven't preached in 4 months. My voice is out. When you're in formation, they call it the gaggle. That's when you're on the ground. When geese are on the ground, they call it the gaggle. Does anybody know what they call it when the geese are in the air together? They call it the skein. And I think too many church people, we've been living in the gaggle. You know what the gaggle is? You live just on the ground. Yeah, yeah, you hear about so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I heard about her. We don't need to be on the ground alone. We need to be in the air together. We're more effective when we're together. The prophet Isaiah understood this, and he helps this other prophet. See, the prophet couldn't get his edge back, excuse me, on his own. Elisha had to help him. It said the man of God asked, where did it fall? Over here. You need people in your life to ask you, man, where'd you lose your edge? Where'd it fall? Where'd you get rusty in your marriage? What happened over here? And you need to be honest enough to say, you know what? This is the area of my life where it fell. This is where I lost it. You need to get honest with people, men of God, men and women of God, women, who love you enough to help you, not to discourage you, not to gossip about you when you say you lost it, but to say, you know what? I've lost it too, me too. I know what it's like to lose my edge over here, and sweetheart, it's gonna be okay, I'm gonna help you. So he says, watch this, the end of the verse. Reach out your hand. Isn't that really how we get sharp? Is to reach out our hand and say, help me? Maybe that's why scripture says, iron sharpens iron as one man. You can't get sharpened by anybody else unless you stick out your hand and say, help me. You know how iron gets sharp? You put it through the fire and beat the heck out of it. And we all need some people in our life who will put us through the fire and say, that don't look good on you. I'm about to beat the heck out of you. But you're going to be better because of it. I'm about to help you get sharp. That's why you got to be careful to buy into the lie that you can do life by yourself. That's why you got to be careful to buy into the lie that you can be a Christian all by yourself. You got to be careful to buy into the lie that you don't need to be in a small group because you can love God all by yourself. I know people that have bought into the lie that say, I can be a Christian and not go to church. That's amazing. Stay at home and worship and go to church. Stay at home and worship and get in a small group. Stay at home and worship and get connected to some other people. Why? Because home can't pray for you when you get cancer. Home can't pray for you when your kids are on drugs. Home can't pray for you when your husband runs out on you. And home can't get you sharp. But some other men and women of God who've been in the Word and who've been in prayer 8 days a week will sharpen you. Amen. Would you bow your head this morning as I close? I don't know how you came in here, but if you say, Pastor, there's an area of my life that is dull. It can be financial, it can be emotional, it can be spiritual. It can be in your marriage. It can be in a relationship. But you say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand all over this building? I'm going to pray with you. Nobody's looking but me. And you say, you know what? With your other hand, there's parts of my life I haven't been in my word. I need the word of God to sharpen me. If that's you, raise your hand. There's some of you say, you know what? I haven't been in prayer. Pastor, today I'm committing to get into prayer. If that's you, raise your hand. Some of you say, you know what? I've been doing life all by myself. Come on, hands up everywhere. Father, today you see every hand raised in this place. And God, today we're making a commitment to you. God, we want to be sharp. God, we want to be sharpened by your spirit. We want to be sharpened, God, by your word. We want to be sharpened by your prayer. And Lord, we want to be sharpened by your people. So God, give us the grace, God, where we've fallen short. God, the courage, God, to take steps of faith. God, to reach out, to ask another brother, another sister, help me. This is the area where it fell. So today, Lord, I pray, God, courage and strength all over this place. God, sharpen us today, God. Get rid of the residue. God, the sin. God, the attitudes, the areas that we need sharpened in our life. In Jesus' name. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And then he said in John 3:3, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Today I want to ask you, have you been born again? Not have you been christened, not have you been baptized, not are you a member of a church, all those things are amazing. But Jesus said the only way for us to have our sins forgiven, the only way for us to enter into heaven is to be born again. It only happens once. I was born November 30th, 1978. I was born again December 14th, 1998. In that moment, God did a brand new work in me. I became alive for the first time in my spirit. And today I want to give you that opportunity. It's so easy. It's ABC. A, you just admit. You admit that you're a sinner. The one thing that every person in this place has in common today is that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short, every single one of us, of the glory of God. You just admit that you're messed up. B, you believe that Jesus is the way. No one comes to the Father except through him. He's the sin bearer for our sins. And see, you confess him as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, I can't help you with A and B, but I can't help you with C. And listen to me, a prayer doesn't save you. All it's doing is confirming the first two, that you've admitted and believed and you've turned from your sin. And so nobody looking but me today, you say, Pastor, would you include me in that prayer? Today is my day to be born again. I want to pray with you right where you are. Nobody looking but me. Would you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with today? Thank you. In the back, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Anybody else? Up in the balcony. Thank you. 8. Anybody else? 9, 10. Thank you very much. Very good. Church, we're not going to pray alone today. We're going to join our faith with those 10 that are accepting Jesus for the first time in their life. Can we all pray this together and join our faith with theirs? Will you say this with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me, so I will not have to go. But you rose on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. And today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.